This morning's message, The Power and Problem of Injustice. Mr. Stan.
I know what you're thinking already. Darren, you got it wrong. This is one of those weeks where the sermon just doesn't come together. I usually do most of my study and everything on Monday, Tuesday, and I get the information in, whatever basic information I need to get in on Wednesday. And so I sent that in, and then Friday came along, and it wasn't until Friday that everything came together. And then so I sent updated information, which is what's in your bulletin. And then this morning, I woke up, and I'm not sleeping right now, and I had such peace about the sermon yesterday. I thought it was all done, and then this morning, I felt really clearly the Lord said, you need to change it, and so really, I was going to speak on the entire section of Luke 18, 1 through 30, but I'm going to speak today on just verses 1 through 8. So instead of fill your faith, purge your pride, the sermon title is The Problem and Power of Injustice. And I feel like we just needed a little bit more attention to that one. Injustice is something that we tend to feel all the way from the beginning. From the youngest childhood age, by the way, these are my notes. These are my new notes. I scribbled them this morning. But if the Holy Spirit uses it, then may He use it. If not, hope you come back next week. Next week, we'll have communion, membership, and a wonderful lunch, and maybe that will draw you. But from the earliest age, one of the earliest kind of things you hear out of the mouth of kids is, it's not fair. And there's something innate in us that has a sense of fairness, that has a sense of what is right, what is proper, and you don't even have to teach this. I believe this is something that is innate to the image of God in us. We always, very, very frequently, I think you probably know it more than maybe other churches, that we talk about the image of God. Genesis 1:27 says, God created man in His image. In His image, He created him. Male and female, He created them. And so the whole idea of this is God placed His characteristics in humanity, in male and female. And He put us into a relationship together that the idea of this is it takes male and female to adequately reflect the nature of God. And when we talk about the nature of God, we realize that there are certain things that are innate in the nature of God, and there's other things that are not innate to the nature of God. For instance, when we talk about love, we know that love is innate to the nature of God. In 1 John 4, 7 and 8 says, God is love. But do you ever see a verse in the Bible that says, God is wrath? No, you don't. But we know that God has wrath, right? But the Bible doesn't say that God is wrath because it's not part of His nature. He can respond with wrath and anger, but that's a response to something that has gone awry. When things are not working the way He designed it, His response can be wrath and anger. But He is not wrath and anger. He is love. Likewise, when we say God is just, we can conclude that justice and something about fairness and something about knowing what is equal and right and fair is part of God's nature. And when God sees inequality happening and He responds to it, He might get angry about that. One of the things that is a struggle for us. And as we go into this scripture, Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, we have a picture that Jesus is painting for us. And if we could bring that up, Joel, I appreciate that. By the way, the guy who has the really most amount of stress is Joel back there. That guy, when the pastor changes his message, it's like, whoa, okay, where are we going here? And the next people that have the most amount of stress is Jenny and Nancy, because they have to put together the bulletin. And after all that work, and then he changes the passage of scripture. So let's go over this scripture, because this is the basis of the sermon today. And we're going to use this as a launching point for where I believe God wants us to go. Okay, so let's read this together. Ready, go. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? This passage of Scripture on one level is really simple. On another level, it's extremely deep. And it's really not simple, because if you just take it at face value, you probably struggle with the rest of your life with this idea of justice and injustice and not being able to figure it out, because it doesn't say how to interpret it in the passage itself. We really need to look at the rest of Scripture. So I'm just going to ask the Lord to just give us wisdom today as we go forward. Lord, I pray that you would take your servant. Allow him to be faithful to your scripture. And Lord, allow your Holy Spirit to connect all your family with the things and the spirit and the heart of what you'd want to say here. So we need your help, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you remember that scripture, it begins with the purpose of the scripture. Jesus says at the very outset, Luke writes at the very outset, the reason why the Lord told this parable was to encourage the disciples to always pray and not give up. How many of you ever feel like giving up when you pray? You pray about something, you pray, and you just feel like giving up. Oh, only a few. Wow. The rest of you are really good. I feel that. And I used to keep long prayer lists. And my long prayer lists, I tell you, would just fatigue me. Why? Because there are lots and lots of prayers that I was praying for that I did not see an immediate answer to. And then I had to try to figure out in my own heart, how does this work? Any of you guys ever think about that? Why, Lord, why aren't we getting this answer to this prayer? Why are you waiting so long to answer this prayer? I know you can answer it. And so we get into this place and we struggle with this. So at the end of this passage of Scripture, Jesus says, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? So he's encouraging us to always pray and not give up, to come to him day and night. Then at the end, he says, Jesus says this, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? And what this means is that in order to keep praying even, you have to have faith. And if your faith tank goes down, then you won't have even the motivation, the inspiration to pray. Have you guys ever been there? Or you know, maybe some of you have been there. I have been there. And I've got to a place through many years, and I have to kind of make sure my faith tank is regulated, that I am offering prayers in a regular way. And so I want to make sure that my tank stays full enough so that I can keep praying, because I know that that's what the Lord wants. So the struggle here is, how do we do this, especially when we're facing injustice? The topic of this scripture specifically is injustice. There's this big umbrella, right? We call trials and tribulations and problems we face. And then among all of these things we face, there's one called injustice. The reason why injustice is so difficult for us to deal with is because it's part of our nature. The sense of justice is part of our nature. And even as a kid, you will understand injustice. So when you face abuse, and you know that you were punished beyond what that thing deserved, you know that there is an injustice, even if you're a kid. If you're a spouse in an abusive situation, you know you may have not have been perfect, but you didn't deserve this. That's injustice. If you are a victim of identity theft, if you make the wrong click on the computer, and now things are going wrong. I know somebody who was hit by identity, and not one time, somebody, a burglar, came in and stole the wallet and started using credit cards. Another time, there was identity theft, and I thought, wow. And it was such a hassle, huge, huge hassle to get everything all straightened out again. That's injustice. There was a man in the Old Testament, his name was Naboth. And he owned a vineyard. He happened to live next to Ahab and his wife Jezebel. Ahab wanted that vineyard, and he was thinking he wanted to make a deal with Naboth. And he tried to make a deal. Naboth didn't want to sell the land because it was part of his family's inheritance. And you can understand that. It's your family's inheritance. Anyway, he didn't want to sell. His wife Jezebel said, "What are you sitting around here for? You're the king." So she set things up. She caused some bad characters to defame him, and they ended up killing him. And then Ahab went in and took the land. That's injustice. There's a guy named Uriah in the Bible. He's one of David's faithful commanders. When he was gone out at war, David slept with his wife. The wife got pregnant, so David thought, I'll get rid of him. And then when the baby's born, they won't know that it wasn't my baby, that it wasn't Uriah's baby. He had Uriah come, try to sleep with his wife, pretend that the baby was going to be Uriah's baby rather than David's baby. That didn't work, so he sent Uriah to the front line, to where the battle is the fiercest, and he died. That's injustice. You have a disagreement with somebody, and you know that they don't agree with you on something. And you know, maybe the way social media or other things go, word gets around, and now your reputation is tarnished one way or the other. And they heard half the story, but they didn't hear the other half of the story. And so judgments are made, and there's injustice. And we cry out to God, God, this is unfair. Maybe you give your life in service to the Lord. You've been faithful to the Lord. And you offer your life to Him. And you have a particular situation. Maybe you come down with a dread illness. And we somewhere in our heart, there's something that says, this is not fair. There's injustice going on. All around the world, we have systems in place to try to bring justice. Some better than others, some really bad, some pretty good. But all over the world, we have an effort to try to achieve justice. And I'm going to suggest, as we're looking at this parable of the widow and the unjust judge, that we have to try to struggle for a way to perceive what Jesus is saying. I want to say here, let me bring a couple of thoughts here. I'm going to bring together three main thoughts: maturity, eternal perspective, and Christ-likeness. And it's really difficult. I guess my difficulty in putting this in a sermon is that I'm not skilled enough to know how to put it all together. So I'm going to speak about this, and I hope that we get to a place where we understand both the problem and the power of injustice, and what this does in our lives, and how injustice itself God can use to transform our lives. God knows we're a big mess. God knows that. Can we agree to that? He knows that where we go, we have messes that happen. God's not surprised by that, but God also knows that He can use that to create a power of transformation in our lives. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about maturity. First, let me say a few words about maturity. In James chapter 1, verses 2 through 8, and I don't know, Joel, if you have that, James chapter 1, verses 2 through 8, it's really a scripture that kind of encapsulates. So James is the half-brother of John, half-brother of Jesus. So he would have known a lot about what Jesus said. And so when we hear things like this, he would have known the teachings of Jesus. And somehow, in a nutshell, he's able to encapsulate some of the things that are more complicated of what Jesus said. And he just kind of puts it in a way that we can understand. Let's take a look at what this says. Let's read this together. Ready? Go. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Okay, let's just stop that. Let's just stop there. That's the main thing I wanted to talk about. So here's a perspective that I'm talking about, eternal perspective. James got to a place where he's able to pen in his letter to consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now, that definitely is an issue of perspective. He doesn't say your trials are going to go away. He says, have a different perspective on your trials. And he says, that perspective can be pure joy. And the way that perspective can change is by knowing how that trial you're going through develops perseverance. So if we look at trials of many kinds, one of those trials is injustice. I'd like you to think about the kind of trials you're facing. Just kind of parade that in your mind. What are you facing that seems to be unjust at the current time? Or maybe something that's been long-lasting, maybe a long time ago, or maybe something that you did, if you're like me, and you have a lot of regrets. You had things I said and I would do from childhood time all the way until current times. And we need a perspective of that. But James says here, perseverance must finish its work so that it may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Now, most people talk about mature and complete. We get into this big word study on mature and complete and what that means. Most of us understand what it means to be mature versus being immature, right? But he gets to a place where he says, not lacking anything. So I'm going to suggest to you that when we think about that term, not lacking anything, that means you're also not lacking justice. And the reason I say that is because God is just. Amen? Can you say that with me? God is just. And in the end, God will execute justice. In fact, if you take a long view of Scripture and you say, why did Jesus come? His first coming was to bring mercy and grace to people and a message of mercy and grace. Next time He comes, it's going to be in judgment. And he's going to exercise justice. So if you look in the book of Revelation, the actions of Jesus are not quite strong. It's just strong and powerful. He's going to come to judge. So we can know this about Jesus. No injustice is going to go untaken care of. It will be taken care of. And so he says, not lacking anything. That includes not lacking justice in your life. Now that's a perspective change, isn't it? Because when we're living in this life, we think, I'm lacking justice. And you know what? In this life, you're going to lack justice to some degree. Here's one of the things that I think is the biggest problem with that we face with the story of the widow and the unjust judge. Jesus concludes that time that when he says God will execute justice, he says he's going to have justice and it's going to come quickly. Other translations say speedily. So you read that passage of Scripture and you say, well, God, it doesn't seem quick to me. I've been wronged. And when is that going to happen, God? One of the things that we need a perspective on is God's sense of time. I remember, I have this thing here, mostly to stimulate your curiosity. So you're wondering, what is this thing? Who knows what this is? Anybody even know what this is? Shopkins. You got it. I look at this thing and I think, what is that? I don't even know what the top is or the bottom, and there's a little holder you can have. There was a time when Cheyenne was just crazy about these things. And whenever we went to the store, she would say, can we get some Shopkins? Can we get some Shopkins? And they had them all different sizes. You can get them in small sizes, only a few, and these big packs, and all this setup that you have. And anyway, so we got a few of these Shopkins for her. And okay, that's great. And then I was cleaning out some boxes we had on the side, and I said, okay, these I don't know what to do with, Cheyenne, and I put it in a couple of bins, and I put it in her room, and I said, whatever you don't want, bring it back out here, and I'll take care of it. I won't say what I'll do, I just take care of it, right? This was in one of the bins that came out. She was done with this. There was a time when her life depended on this. And she just needed to have this. But now, a couple of years later, she's looking at it and she says, I don't need it. That's maturity. That's understanding the concept of time. Can you imagine the difficulty God has with us? Because for us, our time is in this world, right? Everything we have is in this world. Even though the Bible says in James chapter 4, our life is like a vapor. Okay, we understand that, but you know, I really feel it now, God, and I need this relief now. You know it if you're a caregiver. You know it if you're the parent of a high schooler waiting for them to come home and it's past their time where they're supposed to come home. You know that feeling when you're in a dentist chair. Everything seems like an eternity, doesn't it? Especially if they're drilling. Now, our dentist, you know, supposedly is pain-free. So anyway, we don't know about that. But I came up here, and I drew your life, your time life, your timeline. I drew your whole timeline on this wall just before the service started. Do you guys see it? There's your timeline. That's the timeline of your life. Now, you say, And here's the whole wall. The whole wall is eternity. Your and my perspective will change, much like a granddaughter's perspective changed regarding Shopkins. When you and I look back on the injustices we face, and what do we see? We see, first of all, we can barely see it. But if we remember it, if we do remember it, we can have that sense of a grudge in our hearts. And we can say, that was unfair, God. But when we step way back, and those events in your life and the heart, the pains and struggles in your life now begin to disappear. And then now what you see is eternity, and you see the cross. And you see the cross of Jesus Christ. Because in 1 Peter chapter 1, can you bring up that 1 Peter verse, Joel? 24 through 27? 25. Let's go to 25 then. How about chapter 2? Okay, what I'm looking for is, how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. That is the message of the apostles. How is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? If you do something wrong and get punished, what? You're not any... It's not commendable that you got punished. But if you did good and you got punished, that's what God says. That's commendable before God. I should just look it up in my Bible. And then I'll tell you which one it is. 1 Peter chapter 2, chapter 2, verses 20. And we'll conclude with this. I'm going to step down here because this is where I should be. 1 Peter 2, 20 to 25. And let's read that together. And as we do that, let's just really embrace this. Sorry about that, Joel. Okay, let's go ahead and read this. Hopefully you can read it with me. Let's read it. Ready? Go. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. By the way, suffering for doing good, that's called injustice. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. So as we're facing injustice, this is what we see. We see the Lord who suffered for us. All of our perspective on our sins vanishes in the midst of eternity. Much like the pains that we feel, we might be able to remember them, but the pain goes away eventually. But what remains is the cross of Jesus Christ, because he bore our sins in his body on the tree, and he calls us to do that. To this we were called because he suffered for us. As we have this idea that we're pressing toward maturity, get a kingdom perspective, an eternal perspective, and as finally we understand that we are moving toward Jesus Christ. Christ-likeness is God's goal for us. You will become like Jesus Christ, but only if you go through this process. And you have to offer yourself to subject yourself to that process. Much like Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, he says, I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. So as we think about that, we think, God, we come away from this sense of, God, why me? This is so unfair. And it's transformed into this new response. The response is, God, I can't believe you would do this for me. I can't believe that this process is changing me and is designed to transform me from within. But Lord, I'm on it. I'm there. As difficult as it might be, I'm in your program, Lord. I'm going to hang in. So I offer that to you because these are just three reasons why we can face injustice. But there are a lot more in the Bible. We keep going in the Bible, we find more. We'll find 4, 5, 10, maybe 100, maybe 1,000. And no doubt, we will be speechless on that day when we stand back and our own suffering fades in the view of eternity and the cross of Jesus takes center stage. Father, I pray, Lord, that you just allow us to understand the very nature of justice and your call to injustice. Hard for us to understand that, but you say this because as we deal with injustice in the way you want us to deal with it, you transform us into the image of Jesus Christ. What a painful journey that is. But Lord, I pray that as we keep our minds on you, as we keep our eyes on you, you can give us that faith. You will fill up our faith tank, Lord, so that we can continue to pray in every situation. We can pray through that injustice and not give up, and certainly not to begin cursing people. Lord, help us. We can't do it without your Holy Spirit. So thank us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all you're doing in us. And now, Lord, we look to you because you have provided the way. More than enough reasons for us. In Jesus' name, amen.